No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is a very special day. It's the 25th day of July, and it is my sweet baby boy's birthday. Happy birthday, Ezekiel. Mama's gonna cry. No longer a little boy. Now a teenager. Can never go back. It's just not fair. But what an amazing boy. Young man, teenager. I'm still wrapping my mind around all of that. What an amazing gift God gave us in Ezekiel. I am so proud of him. He is just a good, good soul. He is, he's every bit as pure as he comes through on Daily Audio Bible Kids, and he's a rule follower. And I have a lot of explaining to do sometimes why God gave me as his mom. I would say I don't know, but it is to challenge my ways, and challenged I am by his goodness. So, happy birthday to our no longer Daily Audio Bible baby, but he was at one time the Daily Audio Bible boy, and he's growing up. And so I honor where he's at as he now teenager. I had to have a talk with him. I had to ask him if it was okay. Is it okay that I still say to you that you'll always be my baby? So I don't want to diminish where he's at in life. And such a good boy. Still holds my hand, still puts his arm around me when we walk, and I am going to milk that as long as I possibly can. Happy birthday, Ezekiel. You are so, so loved. Today we jump into the book of Isaiah, reading chapters 37 through 39. And then we will read Psalm chapter 76. Just a couple days left in the Good News translation this week. Isaiah chapter 37. As soon as King Hezekiah heard the report, he tore his clothes in grief, put on sackcloth, and went to the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the official in charge of the palace, Shebna, the court secretary, and the senior priests to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They also were wearing sackcloth. This is the message which he told them to give to Isaiah. Today is a day of suffering. We are being punished and are in disgrace. We are like a woman who is ready to give birth, but is too weak to do it. The Assyrian emperor has sent his chief official to insult the living God. May the Lord your God hear these insults and punish those who spoke them. So pray to God for those of our people who survive. When Isaiah received King Hezekiah's message, he sent back this answer. The Lord tells you not to let the Assyrians frighten you by their claims that he cannot save you. The Lord will cause the emperor to hear a rumor that will make him go back to his own country, and the Lord will have him killed there. The Assyrian official learned that the emperor had left Lachish and was fighting against the nearby city of Libna, so he went there to consult him. Word reached the Assyrians that the Egyptian army, led by King Tirhakah of Ethiopia, was coming to attack them. When the emperor heard this, he sent a letter to King Hezekiah of Judah to tell him, "The God you are trusting in has told you that you will not fall into my hands, but don't let that deceive you. You have heard what an Assyrian emperor does to any country he decides to destroy. Do you think that you can escape? My ancestors destroyed the cities of Gozan, Haran, and Rezep and killed the people of Betadin who lived in Telesar, and none of their gods could save them. Where are the kings of the cities of Hamath, Arpad, Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? King Hezekiah took the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went to the temple, placed the letter there in the presence of the Lord, and prayed, Almighty Lord, God of Israel, seated above the winged creatures, you alone are God, ruling all the kingdoms of the world. You created the earth and the sky. Now, Lord, hear us and look at what is happening to us. Listen to all the things that Sennacherib is saying to insult you, the living God. We all know, Lord, that the emperors of Assyria have destroyed many nations, made their lands desolate, and burned up their gods, which were no gods at all, only images of wood and stone made by human hands. Now, Lord our God, rescue us from the Assyrians, so that all the nations of the world will know that you alone are God. Then Isaiah sent a message telling King Hezekiah that in answer to the king's prayer, the Lord had said, The city of Jerusalem laughs at you, Sennacherib, and makes fun of you. Whom do you think you have been insulting and ridiculing? You have been disrespectful to me, the holy God of Israel. You sent your servants to boast to me that with all your chariots you had conquered the highest mountains of Lebanon. You boasted that there you cut down the tallest cedars and the finest cypress trees, and that you reached the deepest parts of the forests. You boasted that you dug wells and drank water in foreign lands, and that the feet of your soldiers tramped the Nile River dry. Have you never heard that I planned all this long ago? And now I have carried it out. I gave you the power to turn fortified cities into piles of rubble. The people who lived there were powerless. They were frightened and stunned. They were like grass in a field or weeds growing on a roof when the hot east wind blasts them. But I know everything about you, what you do and where you go. I know how you rage against me. I have received the report of that rage and that pride of yours. And now I will put a hook through your nose and a bit in your mouth and will take you back by the same road you came. Then Isaiah said to King Hezekiah, There is a sign of what will happen this year and next. You will have only wild grain to eat, but the following year you will be able to plant grain and harvest it, and plant vines and eat grapes. Those in Judah who survive will flourish like plants that send roots deep into the ground and produce fruit. There will be people in Jerusalem and on Mount Zion who will survive because the Lord Almighty is determined to make this happen. And this is what the Lord has said about the Assyrian emperor. He will not enter this city or shoot a single arrow against it. No soldiers with shields will come near the city, and no siege mounds will be built around it. He will go back by the same road he came without entering the city. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will defend this city and protect it for the sake of my own honor and because of the promise I made to my servant David. An angel of the Lord went to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 soldiers. At dawn the next day, there they lay, all dead. Then the Assyrian emperor Sennacherib withdrew and returned to Nineveh. One day, when he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, two of his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, killed him with their swords and then escaped to the land of Ararat. Another of his sons, Esarhaddon, succeeded him as emperor. About this time, King Hezekiah became sick and almost died. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to see him and said to him, The Lord tells you that you are to put everything in order because you will not recover. Get ready to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, Remember, Lord, that I have served you faithfully and loyally, and that I have always tried to do what you wanted me to. And he began to cry bitterly. Then the Lord commanded Isaiah to go back to Hezekiah and say to him, I, the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will let you live 15 years longer. I will rescue you and this city of Jerusalem from the emperor of Assyria, and I will continue to protect the city. Isaiah told the king to put a paste made of figs on his boil, and he would get well. Then King Hezekiah asked, What is the sign to prove that I will be able to go to the temple? Isaiah replied, The Lord will give you a sign to prove that he will keep his promise. On the stairway built by King Ahaz, the Lord will make the shadow go back 10 steps. And the shadow moved back 10 steps. After Hezekiah recovered from his illness, he wrote this song of praise. I thought that in the prime of life, I was going to the world of the dead, never to live out my life. I thought that in this world of the living, I would never again see the Lord or any living person. My life was cut off and ended like a tent that is taken down, like cloth that is cut from a loom. I thought that God was ending my life. All night, I cried out with pain, as if a lion were breaking my bones. I thought that God was ending my life. My voice was thin and weak, and I moaned like a dove. My eyes grew tired from looking to heaven. Lord, rescue me from all this trouble. What can I say? The Lord has done this. My heart is bitter and I cannot sleep. Lord, I will live for you alone. Heal me and let me live. My bitterness will turn into peace. You save my life from all danger. You forgive all my sins. No one in the world of the dead can praise you. The dead cannot trust in your faithfulness. It is the living who praise you, as I praise you now. Parents tell their children how faithful you are. Lord, you have healed me. We will play harps and sing your praise. Sing praise in your temple as long as we live. About that same time, the king of Babylonia, Merodach Baladan, son of Baladan, heard that King Hezekiah had been sick. So he sent him a letter and a present. Hezekiah welcomed the messengers and showed them his wealth, his silver and gold, his spices and perfume, and all his military equipment. There was nothing in his storerooms or anywhere in his kingdom that he did not show them. Then the prophet Isaiah went to King Hezekiah and asked, Where did these messengers come from, and what did they say to you? Hezekiah answered, They came from a very distant country, from Babylonia. What did they see in the palace? They saw everything. There is nothing in the storerooms that I didn't show them. Isaiah then told the king, The Lord Almighty says that a time is coming when everything in your palace, everything that your ancestors have stored up to this day, will be carried off to Babylonia. Nothing will be left. Some of your own direct descendants will be taken away and made eunuchs to serve in the palace of the king of Babylonia. King Hezekiah understood this to mean that there would be peace and security during his lifetime. So he replied, The message you have given me from the Lord is good. Psalm 76. God is known in Judah. His name is honored in Israel. He has his home in Jerusalem. He lives on Mount Zion. There he broke the arrows of the enemy, their shields and swords, yes, all their weapons. How glorious you are, O God! How majestic as you return from the mountains where you defeated your foes. Their brave soldiers have been stripped of all they had and now are sleeping the sleep of death. All their strength and skill was useless. When you threatened them, O God of Jacob, the horses and their riders fell dead. But you, Lord, are feared by all. No one can stand in your presence when you are angry. You made your judgment known from heaven. The world was afraid and kept silent when you rose up to pronounce judgment to save all the oppressed on earth. Human anger only results in more praise for you. Those who survive the wars will keep your festivals. Give the Lord your God what you promised him. Bring gifts to him, all you nearby nations. God makes everyone fear him. He humbles proud princes and terrifies great kings. We've hit a turning point in the book of Isaiah. We're hearing, reading God's comfort and his hope for his people. It's a hopeful turn, right? And maybe it's a hopeful turn for us to hear in our own lives, in the story of our own lives, that, yeah, I mean, sometimes it has to get burned down and we have to sit in the pile, sit in the rubble. We have to take inventory of what has been lost and what remains and tally the losses. But this is the consequences sometimes of our own actions, of our own sin. It is what we often want God to deliver us from. I messed up. Now I need a rescue. Please deliver me from the consequences. Only you can do this, and I believe in you. Again, I say this from firsthand experience. And this is the process of sacrifice, the atonement for sin. There's a process to feeling the admission, dealing with the emotions of the admission of our sins, and then repenting, showing the remorse, the sorrow for our actions, for how we have displeased God. And man, when you feel the weight of that, when you actually allow conviction to run its course, it's buckling, it's knee buckling. It brings us to our knees. It should. There's pain, there's regret that we can't go back and do things differently. There's an awareness of how we have hurt God. There's an awareness of how we hurt other people. There's an ownership of our actions. And so many times we want to stay stuck. We can just really get trapped in unworthiness. And we can stay down. And these passages that I read today, they speak of a God who sees us when we're down. The God who forgives us and doesn't let us stay stuck in our sorrow, in our remorse, in our regret, in our shame. But he comes and he lifts us. And that's a process. That's a process because the people that we hurt, and so often they can hurt us back in their own hurt. They can not realize that they're reaching for retaliation. They're reaching for revenge. And they're hurting. And it's so easy to run away from those that are hurting, that we've hurt so that we don't repeat the cycle of pain, but that's a moment of truth if we're going to stay. If we're going to stay and see their pain, and sometimes we need our own people to be there with us. And they need their own people to be there with them so that we don't continuously rewound each other. And that's when we have to know that God is big enough for both of us. He's big enough to be the God of the wounded and the God of the wounder. And chances are we have been both at different times. The hope is to stop repeating the cycle. The hope is to allow God to come and lift us and free us and breathe something new, breathe new life, rebuild, take inventory of the loss as we sit in the rubble. But look for the hands that come and offer a drink of water, a new shirt on our back. Those that offer us grace and mercy and compassion and kindness, and it's so much easier to offer that to people that have not been a part of the hurting process, or to be offered that from someone who has not been hurt in this process. This is sometimes when you can see the face, the hands, the feet of God, when we don't hear his voice, when we don't see his hand, when we feel the shame and the unworthiness. And those that bear the name of Christ and walk in his ways, they will show us kindness and mercy, grace, love, and compassion. And they can bring us back. And they can bring us back to the capable, the mighty, healing hands of God. So I'm hopeful today to hear these words, to see the unfathomable love of God, that which none of us deserve. None of us, not a single person. And that if we come back, if we repent, if we turn and go in another direction, then we taste the love of God differently than we did before. It's sweeter. It's more pure. It satisfies, and we meet it with gratitude and thanksgiving. So Jesus, we thank you today for this hope that we hear in your word. Thank you for the almighty, loving, unconditional love of God that blankets us when we don't feel lovable, when we don't feel worthy of love. I pray, God, that you would meet each person here today that is walking through the process of repentance, the process of repair, the process of working through their own shame, their own guilt, their own remorse and regret. God, would you show them the love that only you can give? And will you remind us that no matter how far we have fallen, we are never too far to be picked up again. Thank you for the body of Christ, for those that love the way that you love. God, I join my prayers today that you would open the eyes of those that are blind, open the ears of those that are deaf, so that we can know your voice, your ways. I pray this all in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible. That is home base. That's the website. That's the free app. Take a look around. If you haven't, check it out. Download it. Send it to a friend. Whatever you would like to do, if you'd like to be a part of this community, it is there and available for each and every one of you. If you would like to partner with us here at Daily Audio Bible, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We cannot do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you're utilizing that app, hit the Give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for the Give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. Or again, if you're using the app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. When you're finished, hit submit, turn the wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow and end this week well. I love you all. Until then, love one another.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I really want to pray for my precious brother who's going through the grandmother's talking about Tutu. I'm just praying that they would allow that the courts would see that he needs to be a part of his child's life and that child needs to be a part of his life. I also want to pray for my sister who's going through endometriosis. I had a doctor, I worked on this job that this guy didn't want me to have a baby, and for some reason he went to my civilian doctor. I was military at the time, and he had the doctor try to give me a hysterectomy, and I fought it, and it was the fact that I listened to God, and God blessed me with a child. I would stay looking to him, my sister, and trusting in him, because God is able to do exceedingly. Just like he told the children of Israel when they wanted quail, he said he'd have quail, and there it was. So we just going to believe God. That endometriosis I never had, but I did have the tumors, and the doctor was trying to go with this guy because he had some evil thing in mind, but God had it. So now the day I've got 2 grandbabies. Because of that one son that God blessed me with. So keep looking to the hills, my sister, and trusting in God. And I want to give life and favor to all the dabbers, and whatever victory, whatever you're going through, that victory is right there. All we have to do is trust him and touch him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. It's Lady of Victory on Monday, the 21st of July. And Jill just finished reading Hosea, I think, 7 through 14. And that pregnant pause was intentional. Because it's just like Jill when she prayed, saying, I don't have any words other than, ouch. The book of Hosea. Now, of course, I've been listening for a while, but maybe today I just listened more intently. And it was one of those eye-openers, one of those readings that you were like, oh my gosh, that is me. Oh my gosh, I did that. Oh my goodness, I said that. And all you could say is, ouch, and Lord, forgive me. Forgive me and take me back to the place where I first met you. Thank you for your transparency. Thank you for the reading today. And God, I even thank you for the conviction, because it lets me know how much he loves us, that he finds us one way, but he doesn't let us stay that way. So, Lord, here I am. Search my heart and take out any wicked thing in me. In Jesus' name.
Hey, my beautiful Dab C fam. This is KSD. Lady Jill, I want to say a couple of things to you. Number one, thank you for your continued outpouring of wisdom, insight, grace, and just the very profound things that you share. Like I said, in your intros and your outros, I just absolutely love it. And then I was just listening to a CBN podcast, and they signed off with your signature line that I absolutely have just become in love with. I love it when you say, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. They just said that at the end of their podcast, and it made me think of you. You got me saying that now. I want you to know that, Lady Jill. You got me saying that. So, shout out to you, Lady Jill, for the great work you're doing. Keep it up. Covered in His blood. Let me pray for you, my dear sister. Father, I pray for Tutu. Oh, Jesus, do I know personally the struggle of not being able to have children in my life because of the mother. And of course, that's my own doing. But Father, you know what is going on in this situation. Tutu just wants to be involved in his daughter's life. So God, would you please open the doors, open the floodgates, and provide access for this father to be with his daughter. Give him favor with the courts and everything around the legal situation. In Jesus' name. Amen.